All right. So what's the deal with honorary degrees? Here I am, Jerry Seinfeld, comedian. No research papers written. No exam ace. Just telling jokes about cereal and airplane peanuts for a living. Oh, and I made a movie about cereal. And I'm working on one about airplane peanuts. And suddenly, Duke University wants to give me a fancy robe and a piece of paper that says doctor. Now, I appreciate the sentiment. Hey, we like your jokes. Here's a lifetime supply of free parking on campus. But the whole thing feels a little unearned, you know? Hey, where are you going? Hey, come back. Oh, you don't like me. Okay, fine. Go back to your dorm, put on your mask. The protest is on the other side. Anyway, it feels like I snuck into the graduation ceremony with a fake mustache and a borrowed cap and gown. Hey, that rock hurt. Oh, that's a lovely chant. You don't even know what it means. These honorary degrees are basically participation trophies for grown-ups. You know, like the ones that you people getting up and walking away all got in high school. You think putting on a keffiyeh makes you a Palestinian? You're from Des Moines. Your great-great-grandparents are from Ireland. And you, over there with the blue hair. I don't think I'm the one who has to tell you how they treat Smurfs in certain parts of the world. But anyway, you're famous. Come hang out with our brilliant minds for a day and get a free ego boost. Well, if 30 of you out of 7,000 are getting up and walking away, yeah, my ego's boosted. By the way, try my Pop-Tart movie, Unfrosted. It's number one on Netflix. It's fantastic. It's not as funny as Baby Reindeer, but it's still funny. I think if you get up and walk out of a graduation ceremony, you're not going to get your student loans wiped out. All you kids out here that are sitting quietly or clapping or laughing, I could write a check right now and none of you would owe any debt at all. But don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. Free robe, free parking. Who am I to say no? But maybe next time they could give out honorary degrees for things that are actually helpful on campus, like tents. Who knew that one day you could get a degree in putting up a tent and yelling in unison, the same thing. And maybe you should take some geography classes so you could find the area you're talking about on a map. None of you know. All right, goodbye. Thank you for the degree. I'm going to go back to New York and roll around in my money.
Yes.
Come on! All right, I'm gonna pull it down. I don't want to get in trouble. I love this song. Yeah. Hi. Welcome to another week. It's Trambles. And my name is Tim. Tim Andrews. This is a subsidiary of Radio Labyrinth Podcast Proper Incorporated, LLC. LLC. What is it? Oh, yeah. Limited Liability Corporation. I did a lot over the weekend, had a good time over the weekend. Went and had Mother's Day dinner early with the family. It was just me and my dad and stepmom and Caitlin and Gilbert. Man, took 285. I don't know if you've been on 285 lately. This is Atlanta specific, so if you don't live down here, you're not going to get it, but maybe you've been on the road before, but they've been doing construction. So this is a Saturday afternoon, and there's five lanes for the most part on 285 going across the road. Going one way, five going the other way, whatever, 10, 11 lanes, whatever. They got everybody funneling into two because they're paving. Now, they did this shit at night for a while, right? And they started closing it down maybe 8 o'clock, and then they had to get it all going. But it took maybe a little bit longer. I don't know, but this is a pain in the ass. And on top of that, you get past all that crap, and as soon as you get to 75, you're backed up because of accidents and then even more construction. It's terrible. This is the worst I think I've ever seen it. And it's awful, awful. On a weekend, during the week, you could get someplace. On the weekend, it sucks. why don't they do this shit at night? Get some lights up, pay people more, give them masks if you're worried about the pandemic. That's stupid shit. It's annoying as hell. But anyway, we got all the way up. It took us almost 90 minutes to get from Tucker, Georgia to Kennesaw, Georgia. We should only take 50, we should take at most 30. What with stoplights and things like that. But the dinner was really, really good, and it was nice to see them. And it didn't take long to get back because we didn't take 285, which sucked. Other than that, really didn't do very much. I did go to the movies, though. I never go opening weekend. I can't tell you the last movie I saw on opening weekend. I did have a better weekend than Jerry Seinfeld at Duke. What a bunch of shit that was. Planet of the Apes. If you've listened to the show for a long time, Radio Labyrinth, you know that Planet of the Apes is my favorite sci-fi genre-type movie. This is Jerry Goldsmith. His soundtrack for the original Planet of the Apes, which there is an homage to in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Pretty darn cool. I think it was very much worth seeing. I went and saw it at Regal Hollywood 24. 24 theaters in this place. It started at 11:30. That was the time the movie was supposed to start, at 11:30. It started at 12. Why? Because there was a half an hour of commercials and trailers. Lots of trailers. And I get pissed off, so I just start getting angry. Angry. Because I hate it. It just takes fucking forever, man. Come on. Get on with it. There we go. There it is. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now, this, again, is Jerry Goldsmith from the original Planet of the Apes movie with Charlton Heston and Roddy McDowall. But I think of all the post-Tim Burton debacle, and I don't hate that one. It's really dumb, but it's still Planet of the Apes, right? It's better than the TV show. But you got a great cast of people in this movie. You got Freya Allen playing May, a.k.a. Nova. She's the human. You got Lydia Peckham doing Suna's voice. Owen Teague as Noah. This movie's about Noah for the most part. Kevin Durand as Proximus Caesar. Today is a good day. I think that was the line. Peter Macon, man. He steals the show as Raka, the orangutan. William H. Macy plays a human being named Treviathan. And I won't spoil anything, but if you're into the Planet of the Apes genre, this is a really, really, really well-done film. 2.5 hours long. Beautifully shot. Now, I just saw it in standard definition, so I think I need to go see it again in IMAX with all the Dolby and all the sound and all that, because it just floored me. I love the previous three films. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes, just really good stuff. And what this film is doing is it's 300 years after the ending of War for the Planet of the Apes. Caesar is dead, and these are apes trying to find their way in the world, thinking that all the humans are gone, and trying to do this without spoiling anything. Obviously, there are humans left. You've seen them in the trailer, but this is setting up an interesting series of events, because in the original movie, Charlton Heston and his crew returned to Earth thousands of years after they left. And if you go back to the original film of the reboot series, the trilogy, one of the newspapers, and they're showing it on TV, that the Icarus is lost in space. So that's got to come back, right? You're going to see, I think, what's building and transpiring through all this is that there's going to be a war, another war, and my God. I'm trying to do it without spoiling it. I don't normally do this kind of thing. But Wes Ball, who directed this film, and I think he's doing the next two, is creating an expansion of this universe. And what we're going to see is things that sort of call back to the original five films. Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes. That's where Cornelius and Zira come to Earth and have a child that ends up living with Ricardo Montalban. Then you have the fourth one, which is Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. And that's Roddy McDowell's Caesar rising up. And then you have the fifth one, Battle for the Planet of the Apes, which has John Huston as the lawgiver. And
Paul Williams is one of the wise. Just an old-fashioned ape law. Ape shall not kill ape in Tennessee. Just an old-fashioned love song. It's not easy being an orangutan.
Yeah, that one. Ridiculous film, but still awesome. So what these West Ball movies are going to do is going to, the last film, I think you're going to see some stuff going on in that. But who knows what's going to happen. I'm excited, and I hope I live long enough to see it. pretty tame. Anyhow, that's... Hey, I shut the mic off because I hacked up a loogie. Other than that, I didn't really do very much. Watched a lot of YouTube over the weekend. Watched some more of that Baby Reindeer show. That show was nuts, huh? Watched, yeah, just nuts. That episode 4, by the way, very tough to get through. If you haven't watched it yet, be prepared. Last week, we recorded the show, the main Radio Labyrinth show, on a Wednesday night. And then Thursday morning, I woke up and one of our dogs had passed away, the lovely and adorable and sweet little baby girl Rizzo, Boston Terrier, that my wife adopted a month or two, I think, before we met. So I guess 2015, which is a while ago. And she's just the sweetest, friendliest. She was a scared little thing, remained scared. But Caitlin had done a very good job of getting her trained. She got her leash trained. She got her potty trained, for the most part. There were slip-ups every now and then. But usually when there's a slip-up with a dog that's been potty trained, it's human error. But she was really sweet and a great dog and fun to cuddle with. And... I've said before on these types of shows that I became a cat person because my mom had dogs and the dog shit and pissed everywhere in the house. And I got tired of the little dogs that barked and shit and pissed and growled. But around 2015, 2016, really started embracing having dogs again. Izzy, who was the one-eyed rescue Boston Terrier, the red one that Caitlin got from the rescue place, ended up just being a sweet little intelligent, fun dog to play with. But we're down to one dog. And mommy's been really good at explaining to Gilbert what happened and where the dog is. And when they got home from their trip to Tybee, Gilbert said, Rizzo is in 11. And I said, where? He said, 11. And I said, no, heaven. And he's like, oh, yeah, heaven. And that's where she is, doggy heaven. And but she did a good job explaining to him why she's no longer around. But she was a sweet dog, man. And I know everybody who has a pet can empathize with this. And in this country, especially us Americans, we love our doggies, huh? We do love our doggies. We love our pets. We love our cats. We love our doggies. We love our little animals. And hug your animal today. Hug your animal today, would you? And listen, there's a lot more going on in life than shit that's happening way on the other side of the earth, right? You got a job, you got to get groceries, you don't have a job, you still got to get groceries. You got kids, you got pets, you got family. Those are the things that are important, and anything on the news, you can put in a toilet and flush it to shit land. Right? That's what I say. Ha 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 ha, that was a bad cue, but I'm going to leave it in there. You know why? Because I'm not a consummate professional. And we'll talk to you next time. Don't forget to listen to Radio Labyrinth. Bye.